Father, we open this book again. And Lord, it's so precious to us, and we realize there's no way to understand it without the Holy Spirit of God. And there's so many things you tell us in reality that blows our minds sometimes. And you use men of years ago to write, and they wrote about things as they saw in likeness of things many times. And Lord, we're seeing the evidence of those things today come alive, not likeness. What they thought was likeness of, we see the reality of it. And Lord, we know it's soon coming for the Lord to come back. You're long-suffering. Doesn't mean that you don't, there's no way we can change that timetable. But you're long-suffering. Because of that, you'll go a long time to give man that final chance that's needed, or in turn that they'd have right to make their peace with you. And yet the world's getting further from you. There will come a time that God said that's enough, and he's coming for the church. And so we just pray you'd help us be our part in time that we should be. That's the only thing that's going to matter. And we pray you'd help us tonight to understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we look in chapter 15, and let me just say this. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe, and I really believe this, I've said this in the past, but I believe it more now than ever before in my lifetime or any man's lifetime. We're at the verge of seeing so many things happen that it's going to blow our mind when they happen. We have a tendency to feel safe in America simply because we have waters on both sides, and we seem like that our government won't fail. It's failing. And I'm going to tell you, we already seen, don't take but just a few, as Brother Irvin said tonight, don't take just a few of the grassroots to get in positions and make laws that govern thousands, millions of people. And that's how Satan's working. And we're living in the last days. Now, I thank God for the book of Revelation that gives us what John saw. But there's things happening now that even the liberal news media said, these are times like we've never seen in history before or have recorded in history since the first century. And there's an element saying they've never seen it among God's people, Christian beings, like I said the other night, been done with and treated like since the first century. It's worse now, like it was in the first century, and had been treated as, even though there had been spots and times, but overall worldwide Christians have not been treated and despised like they have in a book since the first century. So what's happening, we'll see a change right now against God's people. The only thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, we in America are so comfortable looking at television, we feel like we're saved. I mean, we're not doing much about it and speaking our piece. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, our nation right now has enough born-again Christians, if they're born again by what's on the book, can put anybody in the White House we want in there. But they don't vote. 30% of them don't vote every year. 30% of them have not voted in the last number of years, which have been more than enough to put people in there. What I'm saying to you, we feel like what we hear at the farm, we hear it so much that it's just dull of hearing, not realizing that's coming to our doors one of these days, because America's going to be affected in the last days just like all the world's going to be affected. Whether we believe that or not, it's going to happen. Now, I'm amazed as I think about, we read the book of Revelation, and I taught that back years ago, and I've studied it a number of times and probably need to teach it again, but I'm amazed that when we see in the book of Revelation, there's so many things that's described in types and figures and like so-and-so that looks like something scientifically fiction. Because the world tries to read it, and they say, well, there's nothing like that. We've never seen anything like that. And yet, at the Christian reason, they say, well, we've seen some things that's happening that may not understand what John saw in the sky and all these things that took place. But we see some things that's happened that can lead us to that. But the thing is this. We have to keep in mind. I was thinking about this thing, and I think, you know, it wasn't too many years ago. How many here remember back when science fiction was science fiction and Buck Jones and those people were talking about things in the future that in spaceships and so forth, and never no one ever thought of a spaceship. We were fortunate enough to think we could even fly an airplane. I remember one time as a boy went to see a film, and how many of you remember the Rocket Man? Superman didn't have nothing but a cape. Rocket Man had a rocket on though. And he could program that thing, jump up there and fly. And I went home telling my daddy and granddaddy about it. He said, son, are you out of your mind? I said, I saw it. He said, no, that's a fictitious thing. By the way, it was. But in their mind, they were programming people the fact that man is going to fly by himself one day. And he said, get out of your mind. That's never going to happen. We can get an automobile and have those things around us, but have a suit on that can fly. There ain't nothing in this world to do that. By the way, we've seen that in the last 15 years, that a man can fly. Man can't fly like a rocket man, but he can fly. What I'm saying is that we're seeing things take place now that used to be scientific theories or just imagination of men. Can you imagine what John saw on the Isle of Patmos? And I got to thinking, I wonder what John would have told those people that if he began to talk what he saw on the Isle of Patmos, try to explain that. He didn't know anything about our age. Do you know that? He didn't know what an airplane was. He didn't know what a spaceship was. Our age was foreign to him, and yet he was seeing things taking place hundreds, maybe a couple thousand years in advance, and trying to explain it 2,000 years ago. And there's no way he could. And so I went back looking, and I began to see that he never did say he saw vivid that. He saw something like that. He saw locusts like in the something like locusts in the air. Every time he described it like that. And in our day today, there are things that happen. When he said some type of explosion taking place, and all through the book of Revelation, he said it was like so and so. And what he was saying, he couldn't explain except the fact he put it in words to push it forward in our day. And what we're seeing today is God has given us it in the age that we can go back to most of the things that he saw that's like, we're seeing it. I don't know if any of you saw recently, there was a fellow by the name of David Wilkinson. He was a man who wrote a lot about prophecy. He's dead now. But he wrote some things about prophecy in the last 40 years that's happening. It's happening right now. It's unbelievable. God gave him insight of the book of Revelation, what was happening today. Even to the place that some of the things that John saw we see today in certain types of equipment we have and so forth that is similar to that. What I'm saying to you, we're living in these last days. And if you don't hear anything else, you mark this down. I may be dead and gone, but it's not long before this nation is going to start suffering a lot worse than it is right now. Why? I don't believe you can abandon God even though you use his name from the head. You cannot abandon God completely and eradicate God's people and everything they're trying to do for the serve God, because I believe America's the last front in this world to get the gospel out. And you cannot abandon God without sooner or later God doing like he did. If God would do his own people, Israel, like he did, because they began to disobey him over a period of sometimes it was 300 or 400 years they disobeyed him, God finally let the hatchet fall and they went into captivity. And I don't believe that I don't think we're any better than Israel was. So you mark it down. Some people think we're crazy and off our mind, want to try to scare everybody to death. No, we're living in times as attacked. Look at our America now, what's happening. It seems to me, isn't it an amazing thing? I'm going to say this. Maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to say this. Isn't it an amazing thing that a Christian can have a conviction about something when it comes to serve somebody because God has said it's abomination in his sight? And they can close them down by the government. And yet, on the other hand, I believe this. I believe it. I read this passage article. I believe if I would try myself to go to one of those self-same organizations together and get them to print me some brochures that I was going to spread against their cause, they'd refuse me. Thanks, sir. They'd refuse me. Did you understand what I'm talking about? I'm trying to be discreet here. I'll get out in a few minutes. I'll say a bit of it right out loud. I don't know. But I'm trying to be discreet. And yet, on the other hand, a person who loves God and believes the Scriptures and want to stand by themselves for the glory of God says, I'll serve them in the store, but I'm not going to support a marriage. And they close them down. What I'm saying to you, we don't have the outlet like the liberals do. We do have a little outlet here, and I imagine they're telling you who's monitoring us, because I'm sure this has got around. But I want to show you some things as we look in 1 Corinthians, and finish up. We've been talking about this thing of how to handle unquestionable things. And we've been looking at the Federation Head of the Human Race and how Jesus fit into that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, and let me say again, I want to go on record. I want you to know, no doubt in my mind whatsoever, we may have some good days, but our nation is headed for trouble, folks. And you're going to see it right on. It ain't going to be us having to fight on the foreign field or somewhere or another. It's going to come home right here in this nation. We better get on our knees, and we better be asking God to help us as a nation to get people in the right place who controls our government that what we do in this world. As far as I'm concerned, it's just as bad for the enemy to kill a Christian in Iraq or Egypt or anywhere else it is in America. Thank you, Brother Ennis. I'm glad you're through now. Amen. You can tell. You can't stand this thing without getting riled. Look in 1 Corinthians. Now, we're going to get something happy. We say verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall be all made alive. Now, that's important because when you look at the Federation of Human Race, it helps us understand whatever we may see. And if we get some things in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see some things about Eve that were people trying to say because of what we believe about man, it just puts women down. So it doesn't. Right here is a verse that tells us we were not condemned through Eve. We did not get the relationship of Adam from Eve. We got it from Adam. And this verse tells us that. Why do we die? The wages of Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So why do we die? Why is it pointed that a man wants to die, as we see in the book of Hebrews? For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, the thing about that verse is someone said, well, we're never going to die. And yet, because he says, so in Christ all shall be made alive, they're saying, well, that'd be the case that in Adam we all die, in Christ everybody's going to be saved. Now, if you didn't have any more scripture, you might could believe that. What God is showing us that these two federation head, one brings death, one brings life. And you don't have to study too much else in the scripture to find out that in Adam, all brought death to them because they had no choice to be born in the human race. But you can't read this Bible without realizing, though the life is in Christ, it doesn't come automatically. You have to believe the record of God's Son. And you have to trust Him for that. So I don't have to go back and try to explain that. I understand that. Maybe some don't. Because sometimes babes in Christ, somebody hadn't seen it just like. You have to go back and understand that everybody's not going to get saved in the end just because he says that all in Christ shall be made alive. If I understand the all for the scripture standpoint, someone say, you change it. No, I'm not. Because everywhere else God proves the fact no one's going to go to heaven unless they believe the record God gave His Son. Why? Because He says there are no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but me. That's enough, just two verses. It calls me to know He's not talking about the whole human race getting saved. Are you seeing how God gives understanding to the Scriptures? And I don't know of anybody who believes the Bible don't believe what I'm just saying. I'm talking about really believing the Bible. Now look with me in verse 45. He explains a little bit further. He says, and so it's written, the first man, but go back to 44, don't go read that a little bit. He said, and we read this last week, but I'm going to approach it a different angle. He said, it's all a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. We understand that. We said last week, natural bodies of Adam, we got through the physical birth. Spiritual body is the new birth that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, verse 45, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. We understand that's Adam, the first Adam. Then he says, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. We understand that, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. But then look at the next verse. Howbeit that which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards they which is spiritual. Then look in verse 47. The first man is the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And the first thing somebody reads that, without an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they say, wait a minute, whoa. You call him the last Adam, then you call him the second man. You can't, are you talking about the same person? Yes, we are. Well, why don't God get it straight? And here's the way they think. They think, well, if it's the second Adam, there must be another one somewhere coming. If it's the last Adam, could there have been two or three before the last one got here? You know what God does to us sometimes? I think he just writes things knowing the unsaved not going to understand it anyhow. I don't have a bit of trouble understanding the first Adam is Adam. The second Adam is Christ, which is the second man. Since Adam was the first man, it's also Jesus Christ. By the way, is it not two Christs, it's just one? Okay? It's simple. But you'd be surprised in this age what people believe when they say, yeah, I believe the Bible. Let's look, what about this? Instead of looking for truth, they're looking how to disprove truth. Now notice what he goes on. He said, as the earth is earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as the heaven is, such are they that are heavenly. Now watch for 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly. That's the physical birth, right? You agree with me with that? Now watch. He said, as is the heavenly, such as they that are heavenly. He said, as we have borne the earthly image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. In other words, bear the image of the earthly because we're born physically. And we will also bear the image of the heavenly when we're born spiritually and it's been born again in the family of God. Now, I want you to notice, then he said, watch. He clarified, saying, this I say then, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying, the body that runs on this system here, though it's flesh and blood, the blood here is not going to be in a glorified body like we have here. Now, we know the book of Hebrews talks about a type flesh, but the glorified body will not have the mechanics that this has to operate on blood that keeps this body alive. And he goes on, he said, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, corruption, this body is. It cannot even go to heaven in the sense where God's at, certainly as a permanent place, because it's corrupt. And nothing will ever change this body. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, in my mind, if God wanted to change this body itself as flesh and be it incorrupt, be it not corrupt, it could be that way. But God said, no, I made a new creation inside, and as I gave you, by the way, when we were born in this world, he gave us a spirit. We have a soul, we have a spirit and a body. And the reason he gave us a spirit, because when Adam and Eve was created, he created them with a soul, which came life of the flesh, and then with a spirit, why? So he could have communion with them. And when they sinned, they died spiritually, had no communion with him until God did something to bring him back where they could be in a right mode to have communion with him. That's when sacrifices started. Now keep that in mind, even back in Genesis. But then he talks about heaven's not going to have corruption. And God's not even going to have anything, any evidence of it, of body. This body's going back to the dust. The new creation in Christ Jesus he makes is what's going to part from this body. Now look at me in Philippians chapter 3 and he gives us a little bit idea about what this body is going to be like. And I want to do this a little further before we get any further in what we're looking at here. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Let me see. Yeah, Philippians chapter 2, down about verse 20 and 21. Now Paul is talking about what's happening in Jesus Christ. Christ is the object of the believer. Christ is our expectation. He's the one we're looking for. He's the one now that we walk through life. And I have people ask me all the time, preacher, don't you think the Lord is coming back pretty soon? And I say, most of the time, I looked for him yesterday. And I do. I do because I just don't see anything that can happen. I read or heard talking about David Wilkinson. I read a few of his books years ago, but I haven't read none lately. But he said before he died, he said the only thing that he could see in prophecy has not happened yet in America that's going to happen that whereas could bring about the end quickly is a major earthquake that destroys this nation a lot. And he said that's the only thing I can see left other than what's rising on the horizon of killing Christians and so forth. Well, here, look at this. He says in verse 24, our conversation is in heaven. Now, here we are. Here we can hear our conversations right around everything we'd learned and so forth, and we still do that. And then we met Jesus Christ, and we have now a new creation. Now, as we walk along, we're living here, but he says our way of life now is heaven. That's where we're going. Where did I learn about that, this book? That's what a conversation is. It's your way of life. Notice he said your way of life, for our conversation, speaking of the child of God, is in heaven. Why? From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 21. What's he going to do? He's going to change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to do all things unto himself. Now, interesting enough, as I see this happening, I've got to look at the whole human race. Now, I'm going to say something. I cannot prove all this. I think it makes sense. I know even Dr. Schofield believes a little bit what I'm saying, but I believe it because I've studied in the past, and I've just found out in the last few weeks of studying this, even Dr. Schofield believe what I'm fixing to show, because people ask the question all the time. Well, if this is the age of grace, and go with me to First Thessalonians. Now, he talks about this body shall be fashioned like unto the body, glorious body of Jesus Christ. So we know that the body of Christ that he had, whatever was human in the flesh when he rose from the dead, he had similarities to the same thing the disciples recognized him when they had their recognition open. The ladies in that morning had not. Some reason, some others did not. But his body was glorified in that state in such a way that they could see him. So that helps me understand that in the glorified body at the rapture, when we come back to this earth to rule and reign with him, people will be able to see him, see that glorified body with physical eyes. You can't see God now. He's a spirit. But if you look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we see that promises about the resurrection. Don't you notice something? And I have to agree this. And what I'm going to say, I'm going to give you why. And you can believe it different. In other words, some people say, well, now, we know when the church is going to be raised, but when's the Old Testament saints going to be raised? And then we can't find that anywhere. Some people say, well, they're going to be raised at the end of the tribulation period. It don't say that. It only says the saints of God during the tribulation period will be raised at the end of the tribulation period. Because that's part of the first resurrection, according to the 20th chapter, I think, of Revelation. So I know that they're going to be raised. But he's talking about here now the church, and the terminology, it seems like, goes all the way back to Adam's day, and I'll tell you why. And more I convinced of myself, until you study it for yourself, and I believe that this mainly is the rapture of the church. I believe that with all my heart. But there's got to be an answer. Where have those Old Testament saints come in? And I've heard three or four different avenues about that, and none of them makes as much sense as what I believe I'm seeing here. Watch what he says. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even others have no hope. Now, first of all, asleep not only means the saints of God, but those in the Old Testament are still asleep. Only thing about it, they're in Abraham's bosom where we are asleep in where Jesus himself is at. In fact, we're sitting in him. Asleep means there's no activity in the sense of what happens in time. When we die and draw our last breath, there's a time out for us until God picks up after the rapture and starts again in terms to treat all of us alike. We'll all be rewarded at the same time. Rewards will be passed out at the same time. No one will have advantage of any other except how they serve God in this life. And rewards will be given out fairly. There'll be some get some. There'll be some won't get rewards. He goes on and he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus God will bring with him. Now he's talking about the saints there, because the Old Testament knew nothing about Jesus except in prophecy. So we know he's talking about the saints of God here, the church. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Some people go back and say that's talking about all those who sleep. Then he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven for a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, the dead in Christ. Before we saw, he said, concerning them which are asleep. But now he says, the dead in Christ. And that's where through the years. Because I said, it can't be done by the saints of God. But then how do the Old Testament saints, where do they arise? I had never clearly got an answer for that for 54 or 55 years. And still don't know, but I have an answer that helps me understand. They're not going to be left where they're at. God's going to take them all out. The difference is we have an advantage because they are in the Old Testament system. And they had to do what God said from Jesus Christ back all the way to Adam. They had to do what God said to have a relationship with him. And if they did not do what God said, they had sinned, and God brought about a punishment for that. Unless they took the atonement that God... They didn't decide what the atonement sacrifice would be. God decided what the sacrifice would be. It had to be a lamb, a pigeon, you know the things he set forth. They had to be separated. They had to be in it. They had to be innocent. They had to be separated. They could not have anything wrong with them at all. They could not have anything wrong, lame, spot, nothing. They had to be exactly what God said, and then they had to be slain, put under the blood on the altar, and they did it right. And here's the thing. You know, that high priest had to go in that temple and that tabernacle once a year just at the right time. And he had to give sacrifices for himself to be cleansed before he could do anything for the people before God. And he had to give a sacrifice that he could be cleansed and do what God said do. So that means he must have got contaminated since the last year. And those that he gave a sacrifice for, who may have given sacrifices all during the year individual, but he gave, and that once a year, he gave a sacrifice for the whole nation. And you know what happened? If God received the sacrifice, if that high priest went in there and did the sacrifice right for himself, and he came out, everybody was happy. If the high priest now goes in for the people, and he does a sacrifice for the people, they wait. If he comes out, they know everything's okay. And watch the Shekinah glory of God descend like a smoke on that temple and on that tabernacle. That meant that God had received that for another year. And then the next year had to do the same thing. So what is he doing? What is those lambs about? Well, when we get the New Testament, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. That is their Passover lamb. But wait a minute, I didn't give a little animal. Neither did you. But they did. You know why? At believing God and giving that sacrifice like God said, do. God took that sin because of their belief in him, and he took that sin and rolled it all the way to Calvary. And then Paul said, blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. So they helped me right there. Now, here's my thought, and here's what got me on this thing as I look further, because he goes further and said, for the Lord himself shall send for heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, which we know it's in, that we know the church is dead in Christ. But wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question here, and this is what I ask myself, and I'm just telling you from the ring. This is one of those things that will never be proven. The church can be proved rapture right here. Amen? But they cannot really be proved how this Old Testament saint comes in. But here's what God got my attention about. He said, then we which are alive called up together with the Lord in the clouds, with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What he's talking about here, that in the dispensation of time, what happens seemingly is that if all these sacrifices, millions and millions of sacrifices from Adam to the time that Jesus Christ came, died, atonement was made, sin was covered, that's what it means, and rolled it down to Calvary so that they could be saved. You know how those Old Testament saints got saved? Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because they obeyed God and given the right sacrifice. And God accepted it until Jesus should come to pay their sin debt. All right, come along. Here we come along. And we happen to, in the age of grace, since God, Jesus started the church, and the day of Pentecost, it began to operate, as we know of, then we got saved. Amen? Through the precious blood of Christ. He is our lamb. He is our Passover. He's everything that those lambs represent in the Old Testament. Now, here we are 2,000 years ago, and Charlie Innes comes along. And here I've been 55 years serving him in my life. And here I am. You know the reason I'm going to heaven? Because God takes my sin and pushes it back to where Calvary's at. And it dawned on me, thank you, Lord Jesus, it helps me if it don't help nobody else. It dawned on me, if he can take their sin and run it forward, he can take my sin and run it backer, and he has to run it backer because I'm living 2,000 years later. Somehow or another, I believe if you look at that, you're going to find the Old Testament. As you look at that, you're going to find the Old Testament as having that to do with, back. Oh boy, I lost my Yeah, I want you to look with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 15 again. As Paul picks this up further. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Watch this. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And here again he said, the dead shall be raised incorrupt. There it is again. He doesn't clarify where the dead's at, even though he's talking to the church of Corinth. And we shall be changed. Now, we know this. Go back with me now while Jesus is on the earth. Get in your mind. And all of this leads point, just leads connect dot. When Jesus is on the earth, the day that he died, you remember the event that fell in the temple was rent? And you remember on the resurrected morning when he arose, according to what Matthew says, some of the Old Testament saints rose with him. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure maybe if a lot of them didn't go with him back, but not to heaven, but to paradise. Because he told the thief on the cross, today thou'll be in paradise. Go to anywhere Jesus is at, paradise. But we know in Luke chapter 16 that Hades, place of departed spirits, in time, had two chambers, upper and lower, fire in one, Abraham's bosom, the other where there's blessings. And so I see Jesus restored life to the dead in Matthew 9. He predicted his own resurrection in John 10. A resurrection followed the resurrection of Christ in 27, Matthew 27. The apostles age raised the dead. But what I want you to see, that when you look at these resurrections, there's a distinguish of resurrection. We know this says there's two first resurrections. One's the resurrection of life, and the other is resurrection of life during the tribulation period. I know that's true in Revelation 20, as we look at that before you get to chapter 21. On the other hand, I also know, though, as you look at the scriptures, that there's a second resurrection. Tell me where that's at. At the great white throne judgment, right? So the second, there's not but one. For the saints of God, from Adam all the way down to the end of the tribulation period. So either they're raised when the church is raised, or they're raised at the end of the tribulation period, and no sign of that, because he's talking about tribulation saints. The only way it could be done, for Lord God let us know, the bullet and bullets cannot take away sin. Every one of those Old Testament saints go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Amen. And every one of the New Testament saints go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. And it dawned on me, the fact that Jesus could take Adam's sin and push it to Calvary 4,000 years later, he can take our sin and push it back to Calvary 2,000 years afterwards. Notice another thing. He tells us they're raised in the resurrected life. He's talking about the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I believe this is right. I think Dr. Schofield is close to this as anybody, because first time I've seen where it gives me an answer about the. I've never seen anybody, yes, give a clear-cut answer about the Old Testament saint being raised. I've had them give me answers and show me Scripture, but the Scripture had a hole in it when you got to it. I'm trying to find something that's difficult, and that's what this is. It's how to handle questionable things, and there's some things that have to be just given, and then you take it, analyze it, and if it looks good, take it. If it don't look good, search, keep searching. I guarantee you, if you search this out, you'll find so many other things you didn't know before you know this. And that's sometimes God gives us that, I think, in life. So we see that they were raised at the end of the tribulation period, and then the body would be incorruptible, glorious, powerful, and spiritual, according to 1 Corinthians 15, again, we just read. And it would be instantly changed when it comes at the time. We which are alive will be changed, and those that are asleep will be raised in a glorified body. And that's another thing to understand. I'm glad that God shows us that glorified body will be given to us all at one time. That's the reason I think the fact that it fits in me well to see that if those saints in the Old Testament, they're going to get a glorified body too, but it won't be the church. There's a difference in Israel and the church. And there's going to be a difference when we get to heaven on the other side. That's all there is to it. I think how God's going to do communion over there, I don't know. I know this is for the communion, is for the church. Amen. There's a lot of questions that comes up, but it gets some things right. I know this. Nobody can prove to me that God's going to leave some people out. Because when we get there, they're all going to be there who believed in Jesus Christ, either by giving a sacrifice or by faith in the New Testament. I know that's going to happen. And so I see then the 1,000 years, you know, is up, and there's another judgment, and that 1,000 years is a resurrection into judgment, And then the resurrection of the wicked dead. And here's the thing about that in Revelation 21, the latter part of that, the resurrection of, or 20 in the latter part of that. Let me get it right. I'm trying to do. I keep watching my watch, and that gets me all. Yeah, chapter 20 first. You get 22, 11 through 15. You'll find that there is a resurrection of the there's a resurrection of the wicked dead. It don't tell us what kind of body they're going to be in. But he says they're going to be raised at the great white throne judgment, and they'll be judged according to their works there. We don't even know what kind of body they're going to be in. I know they're going to be before the Lord. And then I realize that, well, God can give them any kind of thing to bring them up, because they're disintegrated, the body they had. Anyone who comes to appear before God is going to have to appear before him in some form. And I get to thinking about, well, from the time that we're saved, when we die, we go ahead and say, Corinthians tells us, God gives us a type of body with him in the presence of God until he brings us back to get the glorified body. We're not floating around. You know, saints of God that died in the first century not been floating around for nearly 2,000 years with nothing to do. They've been happy in the Lord's presence, waiting for that time, as the angels and others are, I'm sure, waiting for that time when the whole church and everybody is there to enjoy what God has planned now for 6,000 years. And so he does that. So when I get down and look at this, I see the transaction from one man was Adam. Then the free gift of salvation is one man, Jesus. I see his death ring through Adam. Righteousness rings through Jesus. Both of these sources, one is of death and the other is of life. Both are representatives. One represents all mankind. The other represents the believer. When you put these together, Adam all die. And that proves what I just said. As in all die, and Adam all die, even so Christ all shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we see in verse 22. Now, the thing about this is, now this brings me back to understand some things about the Federation Head. Helps me. As a matter of fact, when I read that one verse after all the others, that alone separates my thinking about the Federation Head of the human race in this life. Adam was the Federation Head of the human race because in the loins. Now that helps me understand, if you look, that thou's Jesus Christ, who's born in this flesh, but Adam's blood is cut off. In Mary's womb, comes into the earth in a body that makes him a man, and now he is the Federation Head of the spiritual race, and he does that represented at the cross of Calvary. It helps me see that wonderful thing, why he is who he is and why no one else is. Well, what makes you think he's so much greater than Confucius or so much greater than Muhammad or so much greater? The reason is because, ladies and gentlemen, he had the power to start a complete race in Christ called the spiritual child of God. Just like Adam and Eve had the power to bring a human race, Jesus Christ brought a spiritual race of born-again children that came because of the cross of Calvary. And it helps me see that. So most Christians, hear me. Now here's the thing. He gives us the message while we're here to preach the message of the cross. And we preach that message of the cross, and most of the time when we do that, people look at us and they have a problem. What is it, preacher? First of all, why do I need that message? Well, because you're a sinner. Well, I'm not so bad, but wait a minute. The Bible says all sin and come short of the glory of God. But why? Well, it started back in Adam's day. Wait a minute, you're not going to blame me for Adam's sin. So what happens is this. Even most Christians, before they get saved, they have no problem with Jesus representing them on the cross. But they often reject that it's not fair for the fact that Adam represented the they're in the garden and caused them to be in the mess, and they had nothing to do with it. They're willing to welcome Jesus dying on the cross for them, but they're saying He died on the cross for me, not because of what Adam did, because I didn't do what Adam. But then you have to understand, the only reason that you condemn is because you got the nature of Adam, and that nature is what you do in our day. Sure, we had sin maybe like Adam did in the first, back there 6,000 years ago, but boy, we do a whole lot more than he did. Because we have so much more. See, he only had to obey what God said do personally. And when he said it personally, he could do it, not do it. And most of the time he did it, except one time. God has given us a book. We're not only, he's talking about, but we got to study this thing. We got to ration it. It's got to go through our mind to our heart. Then as we study, there's a thousand voices that try to catch away. It's like seed been sown and fall by the wayside, and, you know, the fowls of the air come and catch. We have a battle of trying to understand this book. And that's reading. A lot of folks get tired of even reading it. And by the way, it is wearisome. But folks, it's full. It amazes me, the older you get, the more you stay in it, you can't stay away from it. You just can't do it because of what God is doing. So these are those in Adam, and there are those in Adam, physically, and there are those in Christ, spiritually. These are referenced to the position of people in relationship. We're in relationship to Adam through the physical birth. We're in relationship to Jesus Christ due to the spiritual birth. Don't it make sense? Man, it makes so much sense to me. It makes me understand now that if I had to trust Christ to receive, and that's the reason Jesus gave us the Great Commission, to go and preach the gospel, Jesus Christ, the good news. And suddenly you find yourself going back into this race. We're here already. We're just bringing that message into this race, trying to get people to see who was at Calvary and why they needed him. And why they should trust him as their personal Savior. God help us to understand these things, ladies and gentlemen. When I look at this, I thought this right this here. They say, well, then it's not fair. Now I'm gonna close this thought. Preacher, it is not fair that God would condemn me over something that Adam did. And I say, he didn't condemn you over Adam, what Adam said do. Well, you said we're in the mess because Adam sinned. I said, no, but if he condemned you, it won't be because what Adam did. It'd be because that Adam gave you a nature that you did it. Amen. It's just not fair. Okay, let me ask the question then. Is it fair? Is it fair for Jesus Christ to come and die on Calvary for us if we didn't need it? To reject one is to reject the other. If I can't see what Adam calls me, then I can't see what Jesus can do for me. Simple. But wait a minute. Preacher, it's much simpler because you've been studying for 55 years. Here's a person who just got saved. You can't feed him with meat, you'll choke. And God tells us that. So that means if you're going to pastor church, you're going to have to get in some deep things, and then you're going to have to go back and pick up some things that are not so deep, and you're going to have slack. So I've heard that so many times. I don't see why he said so much. That, I bet there's some people said, I don't know why he went over and over this thing two or three times, what he said three or four times. Because I realize that we are a mix, and most people have been saved a good while. But if you have a baby in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, you can't teach this in the way that I'm teaching now without taking time and laying out precept upon precept, word by word, and show that. And what happens is when you take this book and you read it, then it's more than my word, because God's word shows us. And I'll tell you, if I cannot prove, I still, like I said again, I'm not telling you how the Old Testament saints are raised. I'm just telling you how it looks like it had to be to me. And I'll tell you that. If it's the truth, I'll tell you this, you can't get saved without Jesus Christ, and I'll prove that Bible. But when it comes to he's going to raise the Old Testament saints, I don't know if I have the answer. I have a thought, and I gave you my thought tonight. And I guarantee there'll be somebody somewhere or another going to hear this, and they're going to go say, well, this year, the Bible's taught this year. I know where saints go. Well, if you can find it, prove it to me, show it to me. But if it's in there, oh, I'll tell you what. God, you know, God left some things, I guess, so we would study. And the more you study, the more you see. Father, thank you for your precious word. Lord, these people came tonight to know that we'd have a Bible study. Please make your words real to us. Help us, dear Father, not just to have a Bible study per se and read some scripture and go home. Dear Father, in these days, we need the meat of your word that settles us on the rock of Jesus Christ to the place that we can stand for your glory and stand for that which is right in these last days. Lord, if we don't get on the very meat of God's word and let it settle us as a Christian and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, I wonder how many of us, if we were asked all of a sudden if soldiers would invade this country and start asking, are you a Christian or are you some other religion, whoever it be, Muslim, whoever may be in it? And they say, if you say you're Christian, you automatically go into eternity. Now, Lord, I believe if we can serve you in peacetime, that we'd say, I'm a Christian. And we see that in countries. But I wonder if there would be some who are not serving now, but they say they're Christian. I wonder how they'd answer that. Lord, I don't know. I don't know as any of us know just what it'd be. But I believe this. I really believe, Lord, if we get it right and study it and make discipline ourselves to do what you have us to do, when there's peace, we'll have no trouble when it comes to forfeiting our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.